Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. My name is Tom Tutal Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor and speaker, helping people to live positively with the many and varied challenges that life throws at them. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 45 years now, and in that time I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced, and I've been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". That's due to the heavy doses of the steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those challenges, I always answer amazing when asked how I'm doing. I tell people 80% of the time it's true. The other 20% of the time it's to remind myself that it's true. Find out more about me and this show at my website. It's Tom2Tall, T-A-L-L.com. My guest today is hypnotist Jimmy G. If you ask hypnotist Jimmy G, his real name is James E. Graham. What he does for a living, he would say, I help change lives one mind at a time. As founder of Life Power Mastery Success Solutions and star of Jimmy G's hypnotic comedy show, Jimmy helps individuals lose weight, make more money with his mindset mentoring, and helps corporate and fundraiser event planners create successful and profitable events with his hypnosis show. He's the author of the books How Hypnosis Can Help You, Extreme Weight Loss Secrets, Law of Attraction, Marketing Methods, as well as other programs like Stop Smoking Now, Get Thin in 30 Days, Improve Your Golf Game, Increase Your Income, and many more. Also creator of the 10-Minute Miracle Instant Happiness System. And that sounds pretty cool. Welcome to the show today. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am fascinated by hypnosis. My first recollection was in university. I was taking a volunteered, must have been some payment in return, because I don't imagine I'd volunteer for it, to see how susceptible I would be to being hypnotized. Turned out I was not that susceptible. But since then I've studied the book My Voice Will Go With You. I forget the famous hypnotherapist that NLP was based on. And I'm really fascinated by it. So how did you come into, what age did you come into this knowledge of your purpose? And not only are you using it for good, but when you can use something for good and for entertainment and comedy at the same time, must be pretty cool.
Well, you know what? It's a real, real pleasure to be able to do the shows. And I think just with what you had said there, we'll start kind of with the last kind of question first. It's a real, real joy to be able to go out and do a hypnosis comedy show and present to people that have never seen one before, or maybe are a little bit skeptical about it or curious about it, and just show the average person how powerful the mind is and how susceptible it is to suggestion. And that's kind of a twofold thing that I do, Tom, is I'm very, very involved with knowing and spreading the word on how powerful suggestions and the mind is to create a great life. And my vehicle of getting that message out is through the hypnotic comedy shows. And it's funny that you said that you were in a show but you didn't go under. I get a lot of people that, you know, they try it and they go, why didn't I go under? And everybody can be hypnotized. The thing that people don't realize is that they go in and out of hypnosis all day long. For example, I mean, when you're driving, this is a big common one that everybody seems to recognize, is that when you're driving, you could drive 6 blocks and then realize that you just passed your exit and you don't even know where you're at. All of a sudden, it's just like you were in a dream state.
And exactly.
Yes, and everybody experiences that when you're driving. It may sound scary, but everybody survives those episodes. And most people just refer to it as daydreaming, but it's the same thing. You go into a slight hypnotic trance, therefore everybody can be hypnotized as well. In a hypnotic comedy show, it's whether they allow themselves to go back into that hypnotic trance state. And the thing is, not everybody will. There's a lot of factors that happen because of that. Probably the biggest one is that they're sitting there and they know there's an audience watching them go under, therefore they start fighting it, right? And this is why, you know, some people don't go under hypnosis in a hypnotic comedy show.
Because they purposely are fighting.
I do have a question for you. Since you did volunteer, how, even though you didn't go fully under, how great did you feel even though you went back and watched the show from the audience? Did you notice any difference?
Even though, how great did I feel?
Yeah, like maybe more relaxed, more just kind
definitely,
of loose.
Definitely. My mind went into just like you described. If you, like, drive the same way to work every day. So your mind just like, wow, how did I get to work today? And so I was just kind of like that. I was like very relaxed. And, you know, if you're a university student, you're not usually totally relaxed. And so it was like, yeah, but I don't think he was having people pet a cat in their lap. And I was like, are you nuts? There's no cat in my lap.
Right.
And I'm not petting any cat in my lap. But I was watching other people do it. And so it's like, okay, working on them. Pretty cool.
Well, that phenomena does happen. It's one of those things that I tell all my volunteers that come up in my show. I tell them all that they're all going to go into a hypnotic trance state, some of them deeper than others, so never leave the stage until I'm the one that excuses you. Because what I've found is that some people, you give them a suggestion like petting a cat in your lap, and you just go, your mind will still go, maybe, well, that's silly, because maybe you're not a cat person, so you won't take that suggestion. A case in point, this is a good example of this, what we're talking about. I did a show one time where there was a lady in the show. She was deeply under hypnosis. She was bouncing around, jumping around like a kangaroo. She was answering, like taking her shoe off her foot and then thinking it was a cell phone and talking to, you know, her husband in her shoe. She was doing all sorts of just crazy things. And then I suggested to everybody that there was going to be a little dance contest, and the prize was $10,000. So I hit the music, and the other nine people that were hypnotized, they all jumped out of their chairs and started shaking their booty. They were having a great time. This lady just sat there. And I went up to her. I said, you're going to win $10,000. Come on, get up, shake your booty. And she goes, I don't like to dance. And that was it. And I just said, sleep. She went right back out, and then for the rest of the show, she started hopping around like a kangaroo and, you know, answering her shoe phone. But she didn't want to dance. She didn't like to dance. Therefore, that suggestion didn't really appeal to her, so she didn't do it. A lot of people...
Exactly. If I were on your stage with my arthritis and you said dance, I'd be like, are you kidding? You can't get me to dance in real life.
Yep.
It's hard for me to do.
You're right.
So you never know why she wouldn't have.
I just did a show where... it's called the gummy bear skit, and I give everybody a little gummy bear, and then they fall in love with the gummy bear. Well, the girl, even though she was deeply hypnotized, looked at me and she said, does this gummy bear have gluten in it? And I said, why is that? She goes, I'm allergic to gluten. I said, okay, well, don't put it in your mouth. Can you hold it? She said, I can hold it. I just can't taste it or eat it. I said, okay, well, just hold it onto your hand. And then, you know, and she fell in love with the gummy bear, and she named it and all this sort of stuff, and she went right back out. But she was still conscious enough to know that she should not put this in her mouth. So every show is completely amazing. People say to me, you know, is every show the same? And every show is completely different just due to the fact that I'm always dealing with different people, different personalities, and I even am totally surprised at what's going to happen every single night. It's just a real fun thing to do.
Amazing. Now, one of your books, and let's talk about that topic, how hypnosis can help you, because what I'm thinking of is hypnotherapy, and you and I know that people have, we have 30 to 60,000 thoughts, and a lot of people are embedding non-value-added thoughts in there, and so we know that hypnotherapy can be so beneficial with some of the things you've written about stopping smoking, getting thinner, even golf games, all the things you've written about. Hypnosis can help you because just like you can be you are in a hypnotic state while you're driving, you can get so that your mind can be used so strongly to embed those powerful commands so that you do stop smoking, you get thinner, you can improve whatever area you want to improve. So address the how it can help you, because it can be entertaining on stage. And you know, I'm picturing if you could hypnotize my mom and get her talking in her shoe, I would give you a lot for that. But people are saying, okay, that's cool, it's kind of neat, I'd like to go see that, as long as it wasn't me up on stage. But now think of people who are having problems and they do want to quit smoking, they do want to lose weight. Maybe they have emotional different challenges, thoughts go through their head. How can hypnosis really help those people?
Well, the one thing that and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a very, very great point. What I really, really try and imply through the shows and with my, you know, teachings when I'm just talking to people that want to make a change in their life, is that every thought that a person has had from the day they're, you know, able to form a thought until the day that I speak to them, or even today, for instance, for the listeners, has created the life that they lead. And all life is just thought put into action and creation. So the thing that people don't remember is that, say, if they were overweight, they have been hypnotized by outside influences, the fast food commercials and their parents and their relatives going, oh, you know, I baked some cookies, look how delicious they are, and brownies, and here, have some more candy, blah, blah, blah. You know, Halloween's a big hypnotizer for kids, and it's addictive to sugar. And let's face it, now it's a yearly tradition, and out they go. And then they wonder why, when they become adults, they've got weight problems. Well, the thing is that people are hypnotized from the day they enter this earth by outside influences. So with that being in mind, hypnosis can really undo those bad habits and start creating new habits. And the thing that a lot of people, you know, they might use affirmations, they hear some of this, you know, positive thinking sort of stuff, and they go, or they're thinking about a bad habit that they want to get rid of. Say they want to stop smoking. Well, the thing is that if they want to stop smoking, you have to replace that bad habit with a good habit. And that's why people go back to smoking, is because they haven't done that. So what happens is that there's a void, and then sooner or later they just fall back into the bad habit because they haven't filled that void with a good habit, say, of just taking, you know, if they had a smoking craving, just taking nice deep breaths and realizing how stronger and how more healthier their lungs are becoming again. And how much better they're feeling by just breathing deeply, as opposed to breathing deeply and inhaling, you know, carcinogens. So it's just a matter of reframing. It's a matter of redirecting the mind to a good outcome as opposed to a bad outcome. And that's what hypnosis does.
I love it. And I'm even thinking I have led quite a number of Arthritis Society workshops, and in all the pain management workshops and pain management sessions, we actually read out a script that is designed as a hypnotherapy script to get people to feel better throughout their body, relax various parts of their body. And man, when you're leading it, you can see people feeling better. And afterwards, it's like, oh, man, you know, it's hard to get started after that. Everybody's feeling a bit better. They are totally relaxed. They went into the vision that we gave them of being in a woods or somewhere like that. And wow,
I'm curious about that too, Tom. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about it, because I've done a couple of just private sessions for people that had just back pain, and not as serious as arthritis or anything like that, but just back pain. And what I did was redirected them to number one, let go of pain. And what I've discovered is that the body is a reflection a lot of times, unless it's been a hereditary type of thing. And there's different medical causes for different people's ailments. But a lot of people just in physical pain, a lot of people bring that on from themselves just due to stress.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is that allowing those people just to let go of that stress allows them to let go of the pain. What I find, too, is that by redirecting their thoughts as opposed to thinking all the time, oh, my back is so sore and I'm walking funny and just it's really, I can't play sports anymore, blah, 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 because my
mm-hmm.
back is sore, and they're focused on that.
Yeah.
Now I turn them around and I focus on every thought is that now I'm becoming more healthier, my back is becoming stronger, and you give them positive suggestions to focus on instead
nice.
Of the negative ones, and it's amazing how the body responds.
I love it. And this
mm-hmm.
is what the Arthritis Society teaches, is they call it the pain cycle. And so it's a cycle. It could start with pain, but it
mm-hmm.
could start with stress, which leads to pain. It could start with pain, which leads to stress, but also depression is in there and mental, emotional challenges. And then there's fatigue in there as well. And I forget there's even another one. So it can start on any one of those wheels and lead to the other. And so as you said, and then what the Arthritis Society teaches, if you break one of those legs, so it doesn't progress and get yourself back and refocus, it really does help. And so that's what you're talking about as well, right?
Yep, it's exactly the same thing. And I really like your analogy of the wheel, because once that, it's like the snowball rolling downhill. The more people focus on the negative and the pain, and like you said, I mean, it could come from stress that causes the pain, that now causes the depression, that now causes the illness, and it just snowballs and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And like, you know, you just explained, once you can break that cycle and stop that progression, you can eliminate a lot of it very quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it starts with those 30,000 to 60,000 thoughts that we have a day, right? And replacing them with more productive, embedded. There's even, like, I've heard the phrase embedded command. And kind of this is what hypnotherapy helps is, that's a nice word, cool. We're embed a command. So
mm-hmm.
embed a command about how you are, how you want to be, what you're trying to do, rather than having all these other pain, stress, fatigue, and depression embed their command on you.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? The whole analogy, too, of what you just said, the 30,000 to 60,000 thoughts, I mean, our minds are going, especially now in the vast information age that we live in, we're being bombarded with messages, and our brain is trying to keep up. Our minds are trying to just, you know, absorb all this information, and it's almost like who's driving the bus. You have to be aware that you need to be the one driving the bus, meaning directing your own thoughts as opposed to your thoughts being directed by outside influences. And
exactly.
the funny thing is about hypnosis. Hypnosis is like putting people into basically a subconscious or unconscious state to affect their subconscious mind to create change. Well, the flip of that is that you really need to be conscious during the day to protect yourself from all the negative influences that are trying to hypnotize you as well. So it's a really
nice.
Dual...
I love that.
Yeah, it's a really dual application that you have to, always be in.
Right, you have to get your subconscious working on the embedded command, and you got to
mm-hmm.
keep your conscious aware of, hey, why am I listening to this radio commercial about something that's basically embedding itself into your brain about how great a product we got and buying
yeah.
our product, and you're like, wow, pretty soon you're like, wow, I got to get myself one of those. You've just been hypnotized. And so guard your conscious mind about what's coming in, and then but embed those positive hypnotherapy commands in there so that your subconscious is like, yeah, yeah, this is who we are, this is what we're going to be, and this is where the real value of hypnosis is, being able to change those thoughts, which then change the words, which then change their actions, which then changes their lives. And it's a cool demonstration. I want you to get my mom hypnotized, you know, to think of people talking to their shoe and that. But the real application is people who have challenges with the programming that's gone in their mind, and by changing it, they can really make alterations in their physical, mental, all kinds of health areas that they can make changes in. And so how did you come upon this? How did you, because I imagine you could probably spend $35 and get a hypnosis certificate online in the next 36 hours.
Pretty much.
How do you train so that you, this can't be something you learn online. You've got to practice on people. So how did you study this? How do you learn this? And do some people, if 10 people go to the same course, like the rest of the world, are 2 good at it and 8 can't do it? Or is this something that if you apply what they teach and how it's done, 10 out of 10 people could do it?
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, if people were really, really, you know, from a heart-based place that really wanted to go in and learn hypnosis, I mean, there's YouTube videos on there, and basically all hypnosis to put somebody into hypnotic trance state. I joke that I could do high schools and read from a phone book, and those students would just go out anyway. So. I mean, it's funny. I just had my uncle ask me, who just saw a show in Peterborough I did last week, and he said, "How does that work?" He said, "All you're doing is just talking to them." And I said, "Yeah," and pretty well. I mean, it's kind of weird to say, but a hypnotist doesn't hypnotize anybody. A hypnotist merely says the right words and the right phrases at the right pace and at the right times to allow the participants to hypnotize themselves, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. People put themselves out. A hypnotist just kind of facilitates that action. So getting back to anybody can learn hypnosis, it's very, very easy to do. My book, How Hypnosis Can Help You, has a little guided induction that people can use for themselves or to hypnotize somebody else that is willing, just to practice and, you know, learn the craft in a very simple sort of way. Hypnotherapy, on the other hand, is something that you definitely, if you want to help people, you need to go to an accredited hypnotherapist school. And the reason for that is that because when you're dealing with people's problems, and I mean on a deeper level, because a lot of people do have, you know, childhood. Well, they have adult problems that stem from childhood. And pretty well everybody that's an adult that has issues, it didn't just start like 2 years and, you know, maybe they're 48 years old. It didn't start at 46. It started when they were 6. And it just kept on manifesting throughout their whole entire life. So that being said is that you're dealing with very childhood traumas that have happened, either physical, psychological, or both, and you need to be properly trained on how to deal with that, because once people are hypnotized, it's going to bring up some pretty deep wounds, and you need to know how to deal with those sort of issues. So that's why I would recommend, if you want to be a serious hypnotherapist, then you definitely need proper schooling. Myself, how I got into it, I knew from a little kid that there was way more to this world than just what I saw. I had an innate inner sense that the universe was just an amazing place, and I couldn't even put my finger on it until I started discovering books and reading about things about the law of attraction and the laws of the universe and how they work and how much energy really plays a part in how everything is created and how our lives are led. That kind of led me down a path of being a professional entertainer. I read books about manifestation and things like that, and just a couple of examples. I mean, I pretty well manifested my whole life, but I mean, just as an example, I saw when the IROC Camaros came out in the 80s, I saw a picture of one that was just beautiful. Oh, my God, it was the best car ever. And I thought, you know what? If this manifestation stuff really works, I'm going to manifest this car. So I went to bed every night. I pictured it. I sat in it. I drove it. It was right down to a T. It was the gold cloth interior, solid black outside, all the racing stripes. I knew exactly the whole car, right? And no word of a lie, about 6 days later, I was driving by. I was outside of Windsor and doing a delivery, because I was a delivery driver at the time. That was my day job. And I was driving by a car dealership, and there it was, sitting right on the corner. That was the car, right? It was there.
Nice.
So I turned the van around. I pulled into the parking lot, and not only was that $30,000 car on sale, and it was used. It only had maybe 12,000 kilometers on it. It was on sale for $19,500. And not only that, but I got it for like $250 down. That's it. I walked in. I didn't have any money on me. Nothing.
Yeah.
I walked in and I said, listen, I said, we need to do this deal on this car. Well, the best part was that I knocked them down from 19.5 down to about $17,000 on this car, because I went in, I said, I love the car, we took it for a test drive. The guy knew I was into the car, and I said, well, okay, I'm going to offer you $16,500 for it, because I thought, what have I got to lose if the guy says no?
Yeah.
He says no. And he kept coming back and forth and back and forth, so we settled on about $17,000 and change. And he said, okay, well, how are you going to pay for it? And I said, well, I don't have any money. and this was after about an hour and a half of negotiation. I said, tell you what, though. I said, I've got $250 on a credit card, and I can give you that as a down payment. And then I can show you, I'll go home, I'll get my bank statements, blah, blah, blah. I've got money in the bank.
Yeah.
I've got a great job. I'll bring you all my pay slips and that, and I can make the payments. And the guy said, okay. So I drove back to the car dealership the next day, and I picked it up and drove it home.
Nice.
And yeah,
hot car
and I've been able to manifest stuff, like just things. I mean, once you start putting your mind in action and just know that it is out there, because something I learned today, and it was almost like a refresher thought, but if you have a desire, then the laws of the universe will not give you that desire unless the answer and how to get it and have it available for you to get is out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And once people accept that and understand that, you can pretty well bring anything into your life that you want. Now, there's one caveat to that, is that you have to approach that thought with saying, by being unattached to the outcome. Because if you really, really want it, for whatever reasons, the nature and the energy of the universe pushes it away. But if you know it's there, it's there for the taking, and if you get it, great. If you don't, that's fine too, because you're still okay, right?
Yeah.
And then
usually
when you approach that sort of manifestation in that way, things just naturally show up.
Nice. I know it. Because of a book we've read, both of us, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It starts with the words, thoughts are things.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts are things. And this is so powerful. And this is where hypnosis can really help focus those thoughts onto the proper things. And so you're so right. Like, our mind is... what we think about will come about, but in a way that You gotta think of it in a way of, yeah, like your whole life and identity is not tied into if you get it or you don't get it. But it has to be so crystal clear, like yours was, color, options, everything, so that when it you drive by it, you're like, wow,
mm-hmm.
that's it. But at the same time, if you never drive by it, you're like, okay. Or you drive by one that isn't the color or the options, you're like, no, that's not the one I saw. The one I'm seeing has
nope.
all these things. And so you would be like, okay, I know it's out there, the exact one. Or if you don't get it, as you said, you're not. It's not horrible for you. So if you
right.
go into it that way and you condition your mind exactly what you want, I think it will get it most of the time with your subconscious mind just focusing on that.
It's amazing, and you know what? You just touched on something that a lot of people go, well, you know what? I envisioned this, and it just didn't happen. It didn't work, right? What they
mm-hmm.
fail to miss is something that you just said, and I'd like to just touch on that for a second, because as I was thinking about this IROC Camaro, this beautiful IROC Camaro, I saw other Camaros. I started noticing other Camaros. I saw other ones for sale. And they weren't exactly what I pictured. But the thing that people don't realize is that when they start noticing these things, that's an indication that they're that much closer to actually finding what
mm-hmm.
they want. It's signs. And a lot of people miss the signs. And then therefore
mm-hmm.
they give up and let go of it, and then it never happens, and they wonder why it doesn't work. Something that also is funny, too, in the way manifestation works is that if you manifest something that you want and it shows up and then you don't go for it,
mm.
then life has a way of going, well, you didn't really mean it, did you? Right? And then
yeah.
the next time you want it, the universe, for whatever reason, or your subconscious mind, whatever that ether is that makes things happen, goes, well, you made me get this stuff for you last time,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't want it, so, like, why should I put any effort into
mm-hmm.
it this time? It's kind of funny how once, if you deny what you want, then it's basically telling the universe you're not serious.
It's like training your brain, your subconscious, and the universe to say, okay, like maybe 1 out of 10 things that I set my mind on you can fulfill, and I'll be happy from there.
Yep.
Exactly. And so powerful, yeah. You have to program that subconscious, and every time you give up on one, you're like training your subconscious to be like, yeah, this stop smoking thing. Okay, sure. You gave up on your running thing already last month.
Yep.
And so the programming, the embedding has to be strong, accountable, actionable. It has to really get in there and get a hold of you. And so it can't be some faint hope or wish. It has to be really strong, positive action. Get the thought in there, but you know you have to take action in the end. How old were you when you first read Think and Grow Rich?
Oh, geez. The first time I read Think and Grow Rich, I think I found my first copy when I was maybe 18, 19 years old.
Where did
you
find
it? You know, it was kind of like these books came as just like a little bunny trail that just kept on, you know, here's another little marker that just kind of led me from one piece to the next piece. My very
mm-hmm.
first book that I've been trying to find ever since was called The Little Red Book. And it was only, I swear to God, it was only maybe 15 pages. It was a small, tiny book. And how I discovered that was there was an ad in a newspaper that was just telling this amazing story about how your mind works, and I've always been fascinated with how the mind works and how thoughts create things. And it was called The Little Red Book, and I've never seen it since. I've heard stories about it, but I've never been able to find a copy of it since, and I wish I had my original one. But this book just fascinated me, and from that point, things just magically started happening in my life. I mean, I always dreamt about being a rock star. And I lived in a little town called Tilbury, Ontario, just outside of Windsor. And I was playing in a band. I was making about, no word of a lie, about 25, 35 bucks a weekend, and that's all I had to live on. I was living on my own, living in a buddy of mine's attic, right? This whole little book is just to start imagining what you want, believe it will happen, and let it go, right? Let the universe do its job. And out of the blue, we got some management interest. They basically booked our band a couple times just to see me play, which I found out later. And the reason was is because they had a band that their guitar player was leaving. So they needed a replacement. So they... like one thing led to another, and I got a call from this management company, come on to Windsor, we've got an offer for you. Within a week, I was living in Windsor, and within 2 weeks, I was in Newfoundland on tour with this band, you know, and it was exactly what I was dreaming that I wanted to have happen. I wanted to be in a rock and roll band and be out on the road and, you know, on tour, and it just happened. So...
wow. Wow. And then from that book, it led you to another book, which read,
yep.
led you
Think and Grow Rich. I'm not really sure where that book came in, but that book came in somewhere down the line. I discovered great, great minds and great books by Brian Tracy and Ogman Dingo, or Dino.
Yeah.
And, just amazing. There's just amazing, amazing people out there that are spreading some very, very good knowledge. Tony Robbins. Joe Vitale, just a lot of great, great minds out there that are spreading the same message in their own way. And
yeah.
I still, to this day, I mean, I just got home from Iowa doing a show there last night. So, I mean, it was about 8 hours driving one way, 8 hours driving back. And I like to call my truck the Rolling University because it's just stocked full of CDs that are just nothing but just positive, you know, learning tools to learn as much as I can from all these great minds. It's just great. That's probably why I love being on the road, because I just get to listen to all this great input.
Yeah, exactly. And they all kind of harken back to Think and Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill. There's
yep.
online, you can find testimonials from Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, everybody you can think of under the sun has something online, a quote about what they think of Think and Grow Rich, how it started them off, how
mm-hmm.
important it was to them. Powerful, powerful. And as you said, there's a lot of other amazing things. And wow, to discover this at 18, like, one of the biggest things I get when I interview people, they say, wow, I wish I'd come upon these books earlier in my life. And so 18, wow, that's kind of a blessing to start shaping your mind and your actions properly at that kind of a young age.
It sure was.
A university degree.
Well, you know what, though? It's funny how even when you don't know, but you're drawn to things, how those things come to you anyway. And even earlier, I mean, I can remember listening to great music when I was 11, 12 years old. I mean, I've always been into music. And just hearing some of the interviews from musicians and things like that, and how they were just talking in esoterical type of terms on how they just got their ideas, and they just seemed to come from the ether, and they spoke of the universe and these thoughts and all this stuff. And I just found all that fascinating. So I think it was a natural progression to start, you know, all of a sudden these books just started showing up, and it was a natural progression as well. It would be so great to be able to get these books exposed to the youth of the world.
Mm.
And really
yeah,
you know, turn them on to all these great teachings.
Yeah, yeah. And now, with all the technology and amazing things that Gen Y people bring us, if you can program your mind and find out exactly what your purpose is, there's enough people around the world that you can find that can help you, direct you, gone
mm-hmm.
before you, have ideas about. And so it's all so much about getting those good ideas and thoughts and thought leaders into their brain rather than listening to another Nike commercial on the radio or
watching Honey Boo Boo on TV.
Honey Boo Boo or
yeah.
some nameless dumb show that
yeah.
people watch. And, yeah, just replace that with positive things. And there's people that have amazingly adverse circumstances in life that are impacting more people, making more money, doing more things in their life than anything that people with complaints are doing. And so if you're reading about those people, all of a sudden you're thinking, well, gosh, man, okay, if they can do that, I got to go out and do something. I can do something, you know. And so
mm-hmm.
if you're filling your mind with those kind of things, you're what we're talking about earlier where you said you got to guard your mind against what the world is throwing at you, and that's how you do it is with these kind of books. And as you say, University on Wheels, like, yeah, I don't need to listen to all the commercials and the talking. I have a CD plugged in there of a speaker and learn something on the way, even if I've heard it before, like Zig Ziglar, my goodness, I plug the CD in, and within three words, I know exactly the whole rest of the CD. I still
yep.
listen to it. It's better than listening
oh.
to the radio.
Yep. Well, you know what? I mean, one of my favorite speakers, too, and one of my favorite authors is Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer is just fabulous. And one of his programs, you know, I was listening to on the way home again today, and it's the thing that is so great that just makes people smile and people happy is when people are inspired. And what Wayne Dyer says is that when you're inspired, you're in spirit. And what a great place to be, because let's face it, we all don't need, you know, really want new computers and new cars and, you know, bigger houses and all that stuff. We want what those things will give us, which is happiness. And
mm-hmm.
when you're in spirit, you can't help but be happy.
Exactly.
There's just a total connection there.
Mm-hmm.
And the
exactly.
funny thing is, too, is that I've had actually people come up and go, well, you know, if you're so great at all this manifesting stuff, why don't you have nicer stuff and bigger stuff and blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, once you realize you can do it, you don't want it anymore. It's like,
yeah. And just because you can do it doesn't mean you want it anyway.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've got a house, I've got an office, I've got a career, I've got a vehicle, you know, I've got a great relationship, I've got a great family. I mean, what more do you want? You know?
Exactly.
If I had
exactly.
10 houses, I can still only live in one. If I had 10
That's
cars, I can still
always.
Only drive one, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and a lot of people are still chasing that outside influence to make them inside happy. And the thing they need to do is just stop and realize that you can be happy wherever you are.
Exactly.
Just be. And once you're at that place, the material desires seem to just vanish. And you're no longer chasing a pipe dream.
Exactly. Oof. Amazing. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Well, what are you doing? Any upcoming things that are that people could come out to? Are you in Ontario mostly?
Well, I'm back in Ontario. Like I said, I just got home from Iowa, which was just a fantastic show out there. This Saturday, I'm in Petawawa to do a show for our military, which is I'm very proud to do
nice.
That. Sunday I'm back in Chatham to do a private function, and then the following week I'm going to be up in Sudbury, which I'm doing my extreme weight loss seminar for a Women's Day organization. Yep, and that's going to be on the Wednesday night, March the 5th I'm going to be in Sudbury for the extreme weight loss seminar. And then March the 6th, I'm doing a show for the Women's Day conference that they're holding in Sudbury as well. And then March the 8th, I'm going to be in the big city of Toledo, Ontario, which is a population of about 600. So
Toledo, Ontario. Wow.
Yeah,
never heard
yeah,
of it.
I didn't even know there was a Toledo, Ontario until I got booked there. But it's just a great, great little town, and I sold the place out last time, so I'm expecting that everybody's going to show up, and we're going to have a great time there, too.
Wow. Yeah, it must be something to, when you can make people laugh and educate them, help them, man, that must be worth its weight in gold.
I tell you, I spent the first maybe 20 years of my career in the music business, which I absolutely just love to play. I'm a rock and roll guy and just love to be out on stage and just rocking out with my guitar and singing songs and stuff and rocking out with the band. But doing what I do now is such a huge step above that in personal satisfaction. And you know what? You hit the nail on the head, Tom, is that by being up on stage, it's great to hear people laughing and enjoying themselves and just forgetting about their troubles for an hour and a half. But what's even more is, case in point, a couple came up to me after a show, and it was a man and a woman. They were maybe in their late 50s, early 60s, and the woman had a bandana on her head, and she was kind of shy and kind of behind the husband a little bit, and the husband came up and said, "Listen, I really, 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 really want to thank you." I said, "Oh, well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed the show, you know, and where are you from?" And having a little chit-chat. And he goes, "No, you don't understand." He said, "My wife has been in stage 3 cancer, and she's been battling this for probably the last 6 or 7 months, and tonight is the first time I've heard her laugh since her diagnosis."
Wow.
And that just blew my mind. That was so powerful. I was so humbled. I was just like, this is why. This is why I do this. And
wow.
that was probably the greatest reward I've ever had doing this. And, I'm just so blessed to just help people be happy.
And the other thing that I noticed from your website that I hadn't even thought of, but powerful, is that you're really helping like schools and organizations raise money, because I paid to go see Kreskin at the Rose Theater. People would pay, and if you're in a school and you could sell tickets and have people come out, and there was just one quote on your website about raising $3,100 for a, I believe it was a school or something like that, some initiative. And
cat spay and neuter program that we did that for.
Yeah, and so, it is a great show. People will remember it. It'd be easy to invite people to, and what a great way to raise money for an organization is put on a show like that.
It sure is. It sure is. And service organizations, I mean, there's so many organizations out there. Everybody needs money. And, and God love them. I mean, they all, try their best with different ideas. But you can only do so many pasta dinners, and you can only do so many, Elvis nights type things.
Yeah.
You need to keep the ideas fresh, and out of all the entertainment ideas that, for the service clubs that I've worked at, they go, the hypnotic comedy show, a hypnotist show, is one that everybody remembers, and they want to see it again the next year, just because they had so much fun. So,
exactly.
Yeah. It's a great way to, for organizations to raise money with.
Amazing, amazing. Now, we're going to go over time, but who cares? I like this. What about a business application? You're a salesperson or you're a business owner. I would love to hypnotize all my clients so they buy from me all the time. How can you use it in business, or how can a business owner use it?
Well, yeah, and that's a great point. For business owners, so many people get into business, I'm coming from a place that I worked with a lot of bar owners in the course of my career, and bar owners, like I said, God love them. I mean, they've got their heart in the right place to start a business, provide for their family, and that sort of thing. But I see a lot of bar, not only just bar owners, but business people in general, that they go into business, but they don't really have a plan. And without really having the plan and the goal in mind, and once again, plans and goals come from thoughts, and if they haven't really focused their mind on their outcome, that 9 times out of 10 they fail. And really, a lot of business owners go into their business going, okay, you know, I'm a plumber, so I fix people's plumbing, you know, and I provide them with taps and copper pipes and this sort of thing, and I make sure that their pipes don't leak. And if they're leaking, I'm going to fix it. And that's what I do. But that's not really what they do. What they do is they solve other people's problems, because if my pipes burst in my house, I don't care about your copper pipes. I don't care about your solder. I don't care how you fix it. I just know that I need it fixed because I've got a huge problem. So,
yeah.
Like, your products mean nothing. It's what you do for people and solve their problems is what really, really matters. And the way, probably the biggest example of that is doing what I do with my hypnotic comedy shows, because I talk to a lot of entertainers and they go, well, you know, I'm a guitar player, so that's what I do. I said, no, you're not. I said, what you do is you help bar owners fill their venues with people and help them make money. Because if you do that, guess what? You're going to get hired back. And if you don't do
yeah.
that, then you won't. So it doesn't matter. You could be the greatest musician in the world, but if you show up and nobody shows up to see you, well, guess what? You didn't do your job, and you weren't focused on the ultimate result, which was, you know, making the bar owner
selling tickets
happy.
For people to come see you.
Exactly. Yeah. With my hypnotic comedy shows, my services is making people laugh and doing all the silly, funny stuff. But really, my ultimate service is to provide my clients with a phenomenal experience. And that phenomenal experience is all their attendees going up to that person that hired me and going, oh, my God, this was the best idea ever. I'm so, like, thank you, thank you, thank you, right? Because
yeah.
when I'm seeing their attendees and their guests going up to them and congratulating them for putting on this show, I know I've
yes.
done my job, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they'll be, as you said, want you back the next year. There was someone, I think it might have been P.T. Barnum, had some quote about, you know, do it so amazingly well that people come back and see you and pay you to see you do it again and tell other people about it. And this is exactly what you're doing with those shows.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it. It's an amazingly fascinating, entertaining topic. It has the possibility to really, really help people with their lives and really embed some positive commands in there to defend against the non-positive stuff that we get out in the world today. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you joining me today, and keep up the good work. The smiles and laughter from audiences probably can keep you going for years and years and years, I'm sure.
Tom, thank you very much for having me on. It was definitely a pleasure, and I look forward to doing it again.
Amen. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
You too. Thanks, Tom.